Monday, welcome to the Stephen Knight Show. Hope you're having a great one. We're going to try our best to make it even better for you. Today we have a show full of the hottest topics everyone's talking about. We have our question of the day. Is it rude to tell someone you don't remember them? We've all had that happen. And then we're talking about the story of the Florida man. He was an airman named Roger Fortson. He was shot to death by a police officer who came to the wrong house after a neighbor complained on an argument. We're going to talk about that. And then Shawnee Henderson, Shaq's ex-wife, she makes some revelations in her new book about, did she really love Shaq? And then she explains her thoughts. And then Drake, you know, him and Kendrick Lamar, they had this beef going on, and Drake's home keeps getting trespassers. What's our take on that? And then Queen Naja and Clarence, they had the internet talking after fans brought up their long relationship after they responded to an unmarried couple that's been together for 10 years. Oprah Winfrey, she's apologizing for being for her responsibility in the role of diet culture and expressing that she wants to do better. And then Pastor Keon Henderson, he's explaining why he told the churchgoer to shush during praise and worship. And then we also have the viral video of the teacher who has now been fired for allowing students to unbraid his hair. What are your thoughts? We're monitoring all over social media, Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, and of course our YouTube channel where you can watch us. Please comment and subscribe. When we come back, question of the day and hot topics. Right back after this. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah.
I said that you pass, she waiting, she checking, she looking, and she not know what they are talking. I told her that trouble, she causing the way that she rocking and shaking her too much. Only not far too matter, put it on me like she from Kakata. All the men is scatter, that all bene, I want in a chocolate. When you tie your lapa, and you wear your skin test, when you rocking your too much, bange, I want my ready. Chamu, I won't take you. Anything you want, I give it to you. Take my name, my money, my car, my clothes, my everything, oh. Safari, Bange never safari. Safari, Bange lion, they waiting. But I'm in it, they setting. Testing, they got it chasing. For the jupa, she jacking. Bange never safari. Safari. Testing, they got it chasing. But the jupa, she checking.
Why play you non C fun? Get capping. Like I said before, hungry line blocking. You leave it, another scam and we'll bop it. Grab it, squeeze it, we'll drop it. That a time, you will be trying how to catch it. You know you're missing a casa by Rebete. You fix it, old fire, trying how to catch it. Then you won't speak serious now till they get it. Pretty girl, let me take you out of dinner. I got a cheddar, forgive me, I was a sinner. Gonna be better from January down to December. Take trips, go to spas, even in the winter. So sexy, gorgeous, and beautiful. Everything that we do is so memorable. I'm feeling you from your head down to your toes. Don't have to speak on it, I'm gonna show.
Anytime she walking, the boy them be watching. Anytime she walking, the boy them be jacking. Baby girl, you temptation. Anytime you turn, girl, you confusion. Baby girl, you temptation. Anytime you turn, girl, you confusion.
You.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Hope you're having a great Monday. Show full of the latest hot topics everyone's talking about. Reminder over Facebook, X, IG, TikTok, and please go on our YouTube page, Stephen Knight Show, where you can comment and subscribe. Make sure you're registered to vote. And also, this is Mental Health Awareness Month, so make sure you're doing what you can for your mental health. It's very important. We're seeing so much craziness in the world. And I think a lot of people are neglecting that. But let me ask Linnea, Brittany, we're going to hold it down tonight. How are y'all doing? How was the weekend? First of all, happy belated Mother's Day to both of you. You both mothers. How was your weekend?
Thank you. I had a good time. I went to New Orleans and everything.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
And Linnea, I know you went to a wedding.
And now I feel like crap. So yeah, it was a wonderful time. I could have stayed in the house and not got sick.
Right.
But it is what it is.
Exactly. I went to this art show in Chastain Park here in Atlanta. It was pretty cool. An independent artist. I met this one guy. He actually used to work for MTV. He might come on the show one day. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of stories. He does art now, though. All right. Well, our question of the day is it rude to tell someone that you don't remember them? Like, if you bump into someone, they come up to you and speak. If you don't remember who they are, is that rude to tell them? I'll let you go personally, Nia.
No. Nope, it is not. Sometimes it'll be like, depending on the interaction, you could be like, somebody come, and then try to fish for information.
Right.
To jog your memory. Or sometimes it's just like, oh my God, where do I know you from? Mm-hmm. It ain't like, I'm like, where I know you from, Heffa? Not like, oh, where? Oh my God, it's slipping my mind. Like,
yeah. Me.
You know what I mean? So, no, I don't think that it's rude.
Yeah. What do you think, Brittany?
I don't think it's rude either. I can't, like, you getting into, like, muddy waters trying to pretend like you remember them. And then, like, you might end up saying something and that's not where you really know them from. So, yeah. I'd be like... just refresh my memory. That's what I'm gonna say. Remind me where I met you. Like, right. Just say that.
Yeah. I'm horrible of names anyway, and I'm horrible of things like that. And I am the one that will try to act like I remember you. This happened to me the other day. This lady, she said, Steven, right? Yeah. She said, she told me her name. I said, oh, okay. I know how cool she was. But some of our responses online, someone said, excuse me, do I know you from somewhere? LOL. Someone said, no, not to me, because how am I rude if I'm truly don't remember, and don't let me get on the name. And I'm like, admit that. No, it's not rude. I usually tell them, help me remember who you are and where I know you from. Someone said, I hope not, because I do it all the time. Gerald said, nope, I do it all the time. Karen said, she just did it yesterday. Melody said, not at all. It's honest, and we could use a little more of it in the world. Hell, I can't remember what I wore last week. We're human, yeah. And we will forget people from time to time. But there are a lot of responses. But tweets at home, let us know. Is it rude to tell us when you don't remember? All right, well, Florida authorities released the body cam footage of Airman Roger Fortson's death. According to the New York Post, the video shows the serviceman was shot several times immediately after opening the door to his apartment. The 23-year-old was killed by a deputy reportedly responding to a domestic violence call at the Chez Inn Apartments in Fort Walton. A woman called the police department on May 3rd to report that she heard arguing from an adjacent apartment. Instead of going to the troubles couple's apartment, the officer went to Rogers. The special operations airman was leery of the knock at his door. Therefore, he retrieved his legally registered handgun. People magazine reports that after the deputy reached Forson's front door, he does not appear to announce himself. He moves to the side instead of standing in front of the peephole. As previously reported, this is by the shade room, the airman's girlfriend said that she said that he didn't see him at the door. They were on FaceTime at the time. The deputy says, "Sheriff's office, open the door." The 20-something eventually opens the front door, 23, opens the front door. A gun appears to be by his side, pointing to the ground. The officer shoots him multiple times and then says, "Drop your gun, drop your gun." This is when he's already on the ground. After being repeatedly shot in the chest, Fortson somehow says, "It's over there. I don't have it," he yelled. The senior airman rolled over to his side. The officer then called for backup and EMS. Attorney Ben Crump stated that Roger did not know it was a sheriff's deputy at his front door. He was a great guy. They took a patriot from us. This is Crump. Justin Crump revealed that Force was on FaceTime, I said, with his girlfriend at the time of the incident. He released the footage of the recorded call to People magazine. The camera was facing the ceiling fan at Roger's apartment. The military official moans and says, "I can't breathe." The officer shouts, "Don't move, stop moving." Forson passed away from his injuries at the hospital. An unidentified officer is currently on administrative leave pending an investigation. Now, I saw when this happened, and again, he was at home by himself on FaceTime with his girlfriend. Police officer, they're sent to the wrong apartment, and he bangs on the door. The guy didn't come to the door initially, and then he does. He has his gun to his side. And the officer just starts shooting when he opened the door. So what are your thoughts on the story, Linnea?
We talk about being frustrated with stuff like this. And it's frustrating because why wouldn't you go to the house of the people who called you first to get confirmation?
Yeah.
And then go to the right apartment? Because correct me if I'm wrong, they went to the wrong apartment. This is why, if I ain't expecting company, I'm not answering my
phone. I don't want to go, neither.
Period. Mm-hmm. And let's keep it all way funky. When police officers go to people's homes, they do cover up the people.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're standing in the way to where you really can't see them.
Right.
I got a Ring camera on my door.
Mm-hmm.
I know when everybody coming and going.
Right.
As long as you walk across my door, I see that motion and I get an alert.
Right.
If I'm not expecting you, then I'm not opening up my door. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to look right out the window until you get away from my door.
Right. Me too. That's me.
So I send prayers to his family.
Yeah.
But you should have went to the people who called you. You should have went to their home first.
Yep.
Because if somebody, especially with the way the cops knock on the door, I'm taking my gun too.
Yeah, you banging on the door. Yeah.
I'm taking my, because I got my license to carry. I'm taking my gun too.
Yep.
So, it's a shame.
Brittany, what are your thoughts?
I saw the video and I thought it was very, very like just heartbreaking. Mm. He knocks on the door and then he bends around the corner.
Right.
Like intentionally. And he did it over and over again.
Yeah.
Instead of allowing people to see who's at the door. And then like even his cousin, I read in one of the comments, his cousin was like, "You beating on my door aggressively."
Right.
Yelling out cops. That could be anybody trying to break into somebody's apartment.
Yep.
And so he goes and gets the gun and he answers the door with the gun at his side pointed down. And you still shooting him.
Yeah.
And he points to the, he still is able somehow to point to the gun and say, "It's all the way over there." Like,
right.
and y'all yelling at me about a gun while he's on the ground. Like, I definitely think they have a case. I definitely think there needs to be harsh consequences, especially in the state of Florida where you have the right to bear arms.
Yeah.
Like, he had every right to defend himself in Florida. Like,
yeah.
So it doesn't make sense. I hope that they get justice for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very heartbreaking. I'm like, Lania, I don't answer the door.
Mm-mm.
If I don't know you, if you don't call me, I don't answer the door.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. I remember one time, this one morning, this lady was knocking at my front door. And I was looking at from upstairs. I'm like, who is this lady? And she was knocking. She kept knocking. And then I saw her go to my neighbor's house. And she came back to my house. So she was trying to get my attention. So that's the reason why I came to the door. Turned out someone had broken into my car and had taken my, I used to keep my wallet in my car. They had taken my wallet and threw it by the mailbox. She found it. But I wouldn't open that door. I don't know that lady. I was just watching her, you know. But hope justice is served. Again, the man had he didn't even have the gun pointed at him. He had it to his side, you know. But yeah. All right, well, Shawnee Henderson has a new husband, a new relationship with God, and a new book. And a portion of her memoir, she opens up about her marriage to Shaq, revealing that she's unsure if she was ever really married to him. So looking back, I don't know if I ever really in love with that man, but I was in love with the idea of being married to the man I had a family with. She said, I was in love with the idea of building a life together. I truly did enjoy spending time with him. NBA road trips gave me a chance to be with my husband, experience NBA life for a little while. Now, while discussing their relationship, including Shaq's infidelity, Shawnee acknowledged that Shaq was trying to be the best father and husband he could be while juggling fame, fortune, and the temptation of women. How could anyone possibly know how to do that, she said. Shaq and Shawnee jumped the broom in 2002 and were together 9 years before deciding to call quits. And Shaq did respond to her on in his social media, and he said something like, he understood what she meant, and he said, blessings. Because he's been open about his infidelity. Brittany, what are your thoughts on this? Because I was thinking, okay, I get her perspective, but then someone said, well, why don't you marry him? Why don't you have all these kids with them? You know, did you really just want the NBA life? What are your thoughts?
I think that once you finally experience love, it is nothing wrong with being like, okay, that wasn't love. I thought it was in that moment. But if I'm being loved properly now, that couldn't have been love.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think, like, to the comment about the kids being involved, like, sometimes as women, we stay because of the kids. And we put up with more than we should because we had kids by this man. Mm-hmm. And it don't mean it's right, but that's typically what we tend to do because nobody goes into a situation wanting to be a baby mama.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that I know of. So I completely understand what she was trying to say. I think that once you know better, you do better is what she meant.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Lynette?
Not saying that this is Shawnee's situation, but some women really only get married to the idea of being married and not being in a relationship that is a marriage. Some women want the pomp and circumstance of having a wedding so all eyes can be on them, but don't continue to do the work after the wedding is done. So I'm not saying that was her situation.
Right.
But that's a lot of people who get married. They get married for the wrong reasons. And what happens is, I really do, the phrase, I stayed for my kids, really kind of does something to me, because what you're teaching your children, especially your daughters, is that this is how a man acts. This is what you're supposed to accept if you have kids by this person, and you're supposed to put up with that. And yes, Shaq has admitted, you know, Shaq did a lot.
Yeah.
He did a lot. And when women go into these situations, you got to understand, right? Unless that man has control over his faculties, he looser than a goose out here in these streets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you signed up for to begin with. I'm not saying all of them do it, but especially when they're young. You see all these young boys out here just poking anything. Now they got all these different kids.
Yeah.
Most men be thinking the more kids I have, the more of a man that I am. More kids with different women, and that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
But Shaq had said something before about he's always, if she ever needed something, like, she can get that.
Yeah.
Because she put with so much.
Mm-hmm.
And she probably had love for him.
Yeah.
She may not have been loved. And like Brittany said, when you experience being loved in a way that you've never been loved before, it's like never being loved before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like you've never been loved before. Mm-hmm. And having gone through that experience in the relationship that I'm in now, and we're 7 years in,
mm-hmm.
I've never been loved like this.
Yeah.
This man listens to me and hears me,
mm-hmm.
and he loves me. He loves me through my mess. When I'm going through it and I don't feel beautiful and I don't feel like I'm enough, he loves me through that the same way I love him through his mess and when he's going through whatever he's going through.
Right. Yep.
So it's very plausible. But mm-hmm. of course, when the internet gets a hold of it, they try to turn it into something mm-hmm. bad, because you see this right here, the whole headlines is like, oh, she ain't really love him. Yeah. Da, da, da. And that's, I didn't even know before this that it was a book involved.
Yeah.
Because of the headline.
Right. Yeah.
So
I like the way, to Lania's point, I love the way Shaq handled it. Like, very classy.
Yeah.
Because he could have got, like, there, he could have did a low blows or said something. Like, so I think that says a lot about his character. Mm-hmm. That he rose above the clickbait.
Yeah, he did. And she even said, how could he be the best he could, you know, with so much Adam Young, all this money, all this fame. So, all right, well, there's a lot of action outside of Drake's mansion in Toronto all last week. Now it looks like his security has caught another person who allegedly tried to get into the property. According to photos and videos obtained by TMZ TV, security can be seen holding down a man dressed in all black onto the lawn. The site reports that the eyewitnesses said that the man was riding by the home on a bike when he saw two security guards tackling him to the ground. They reportedly placed a knee on his back to prevent him from getting up. Officials and Drake's team have not spoken out about the alleged trespasser. A line of events have happened throughout last week, starting with one of his security guards getting injured in what officials describe as a drive-by shooting. As the week went on, there were two other trespassers who were taken into custody. And, you know, a lot of people thought that this might have to do with Kendrick Lamar because of their beef, but then it came out that allegedly it could have been the Weeknd's security, because apparently his security got into it with Drake's security. So they're thinking that's who did the drive-by. But and then I also heard that Drake listed his L.A. home for sale. But, Lania, what are your thoughts on, first of all, do you think this has to do with anything with the beef or the battle rap or whatever? Or is this really just what?
Who knows?
Right.
You know, battle rap is a part of the hip hop culture, right?
Right.
What Kendrick and Drake were doing is nursery school-ish compared to if you watch battle raps on YouTube.
Yeah.
They go hard in each other's faces. If you're watching battle raps on YouTube, like, so that's child play.
Yeah.
it's just unfortunate that it's other people who create the tsunami
mm-hmm.
of destruction.
Yeah.
You know, when stuff like this happens. Excuse me. So, I don't know what's a cause for what.
Yeah.
But what I do know is that, you know, it's ridiculous. And, you know, people really don't understand that these are their lives, not yours.
Right.
You are not a part of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And people get into their feelings, and I've seen all kinds of stuff doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That whole back and forth, like, why are you taking this personal? You got some stake in this? What's wrong with you?
Right, exactly.
Like, you got to understand the dynamic of hip hop and how that works. Whether you think Drake won, whether you think Kendrick won, let's keep it all the way funky. And somebody made a good point. Kendrick is from LA.
Yeah. Yep.
LA is going to pull hard for Kendrick, not Hollywood, LA.
LA, yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? That they're going to pull hard for Kendrick because that's where he's from.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was an interesting going back and forth. But listen, that Meet the Grams had me in a chokehold. I ain't even going.
Yeah, and Kendrick Lamar's song went number one on Billboard. Brittany, what are your thoughts on this Drake having these issues at the house and the back and forth, the battle rap beef, whatever?
I'm so confused. Like, is it really that serious between them?
Apparently they have a long history of this.
They have a long
history. I did not know it was this serious. And I feel like it's so unnecessary. And I feel like Cat Williams kicked off like this beef with everybody. And everybody been beefing ever since he went on that show.
Uh-huh.
I just didn't know it was that serious.
We saw Shaq release a diss track towards Shannon Sharp.
I need Shaq to go sit down somewhere.
He did.
He need to go sit down somewhere.
Yeah. All right. Well, Queen Naja and her boyfriend Clarence, they have the internet talking after fans brought up a long term relationship and their response. So they were on live, and Queen Naja was asked. There was a couple, they've been together for 10 years and they've lived together for 4 years. And she was asking, should she stay if he hasn't proposed at that point? And she said that they were having a discussion about it. And the boyfriend said something, it depends on the age. It could be, you know, she's older, maybe they don't want to get married or he don't want to get married. But she was saying, sometimes you have to leave your boyfriend to find your husband. And so they kind of had a conversation. Well, the internet, of course, they don't sleep. And they were questioning, well, y'all been together a long time. Y'all not married. What's going on? So of course, they had to clap back. But do you think there's a time frame? Because Queen Naja was saying that she believes that a man knows if he's going to marry the woman or not. And if 10 years, and y'all lived together 4 years, it's not like y'all had to live together to see what it's like. You know, I'll ask you in there.
I feel like everybody's situation is different.
Yeah.
You know, Jay and I have been together for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, but there are different dynamics that play a part in that.
Right.
Have we talked about marriage? Yes. Have we talked about, you know, other stuff? Yes. We have those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And you know everything that I have going on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if I can think about that fully right now.
Yeah.
But I did say to him, I was like, you know, I'm not the let me throw a big wedding. I'm like, we can go to the Justice of the Peace
mm-hmm.
and have a big cookout afterwards.
Right.
So it all depends on where you are in your relationship. And, you know, and if each party wants to move forward or if you're comfortable with where you are, but if you're not having conversations, well, then that you're not even contributing to finding out what it is that each other wants.
Yeah.
We talk all the time. That's why I love him so much. We talk all the time. And we are our own worst enemies individually, because sometimes you believe you don't deserve that goodness of somebody special like that in your life. And that self-sabotage is a real thing.
Yeah, it's true.
So I don't know. You know, who I guess, you know, ultimately, yeah, I want to get married someday. You know what I mean? So when that happens is when it just like me leaving that job.
Right.
Took me 10 years to leave that job.
Yeah.
So what I'm a rush into that for? That's, you know.
Exactly. What do you think, Brittany?
Okay, I couldn't unmute myself. I'm sorry. But I think there are a lot of factors involved, like your age, your maturity, where you are in life and stuff like that. So I do think it deserves a conversation on what is the intention here? Like, where are our goals? Where are we going with this? But 10 years is a long time, and 10 years and a baby. And you got all this other stuff going off. Yeah, so that's a long time to give somebody, and y'all, it ain't even an engagement ring involved or something like that. Like, I don't know. I would definitely be like, at her age, yeah, he needs to marry me. And especially because I don't really know what Clarence does for a living.
Yeah, apparently I was reading that he was kind of her come up, not like that he used her for that, but she kind of like brought him up.
Yeah, like, I don't really know what he does. And I'm sorry, you're not going to be riding this wave without some form of commitment.
I wonder when she said sometimes you have to leave your boyfriend to find your husband, and she was throwing a hit at him. I don't know. What are you going to say on this?
So it's interesting. You'd lay down with him and make a baby, you won't make the demand to make your wife first. Mm-hmm. And then now it's a problem because that hasn't happened.
Yeah.
You got to do that self-reflection. Matter of fact, case in point, you know, the wedding that I went to yesterday, they've been together for 13 years mm-hmm. and two kids.
Yep.
13 years and two kids. And he finally decided to propose. And I mean, the bride, who I know and I love her, she started dropping hints 5 years ago. She made a Pinterest board and everything. You understand what I'm saying? Like, this is my man, and I want to make it official. He about to start getting these hints. So, I mean, and they were young.
Yeah.
And they're in their 30s. So 13 years, she had her mindset. It just took him a minute.
Yeah.
I'm with Lania. After like all the relationships I've been in two, and the last one where I had kids with, my next one, I'm not having kids without the discussion of marriage and what the expectation is on that and when you gonna marry me. Like, it does come a point where a woman has to be like, I'm not bringing no kids into this.
Yep. That's on us as women. I mean, I ain't have no more kids because mine is grown and old, but that's our responsibility as women. What do you really want? You know what I mean? Do you want him to make you a wife first and then have kids? Because some dudes, not all of them, they put that kid up in you and they be like, I'm out of this gym.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you know, or they get real comfortable. And then they stop doing the things they used to do with you. You don't go on dates no more. I'm like, nah, we ain't doing none of that. I do think she was dropping hints, Steve. And I think she dropped a hint to Clarence because I didn't hear they broke up a few times too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they definitely like been on and off for whatever reason. You just know who's a good Shirley Ralph and her husband, right?
Yeah.
They've been there for a long time. They never lived together until recently. They've been married for like over 13 years or something. Yeah. And this is the first time that they've lived together in their marriage, because she was in LA and he was doing his thing over here as a senator or whatever in Philly.
Yeah.
So you got that dynamic. I got a husband, but how our lives are and what we do for a living, we can't even live together right now.
Right.
Yeah. We're seeing each other like we're dating.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So everybody's situation
is different.
Situation is different.
Yeah. I went to a wedding about a month and a half ago, and they had been together over a decade. And he even said when he was doing his vows, he said to her, I know it's taking me a while to get here, but I'm glad that you were patient. You stayed with me, and you know, you can tell they're really much in love. So,
right.
Well, yeah, everyone's situation is different, but I think people and women, people have to know what they want and not be afraid to speak it. Because you don't want to wait 10 years. If you know you want to get married, wait 10 years to find out that he don't want to marry. You know what I mean? Anyway, take a quick break, come back, find out why Oprah Winfrey is apologizing. And then Pastor Keon Henderson, he went on Tamron Hall to explain him hushing his parishioner. Right back after this.
A chicken, sometimes they call me, talk me, keep them niggas. So I gotta move like it's trouble, forever set in my ways, but never get in my way, cause it's. Of course, you know we born different from the gutter. I know they saw me, they salty, but they don't step, cause it's. Devil playing naughty, put a stop in the story. It was stormy when it rained, I took the blame, I put it. I seen it tough and them get the missing, it's different from that position. As soon as niggas say he got it, I caught the slipping, had the blick in his mitten. Must have been tripping, acting Jordan when he pippin'. This, I need all my bread, not a portion. Everything get extorted, they get their hand in our coffins. When it's, we sitting with the boss or the bosses. We ain't taking no losses. Don't wanna cross us, nah. You know I keep it. You know I keep it. I keep it. I put on a show when you see him. You got it, but it's needed like breathing. But they don't sleep, cause it's. You don't wanna get hit with it. That feeling is something dripping. The flesh is missing, be quitting when it's. But it's the money, why he moving, removing. Who not gonna do what they clueless, but they don't know it, cause it's. They reaching for the stars while I hang on your Cuban. That's how they do it, the usual. Know the shooter, keep it. Trying to hit the road for the gold before it get old. You never know how it go when it's getting mad, cause the cash done cut the problems in half. There's nothing left but the laugh when it's. But we gon' ball on them, stack the chicken, don't fall for them. They call on them knowing that it's. And gangsters know they can't turn. All they taught them, the man learn. Plus he and know we stand firm. You know I keep it.
Chopper, chopper, trunk go knock a knocker. target by the fate. Man, I wish it was grams, they threw tons on me. Kept my mouth shut and connected like I'm Bumblebee. Got out and became bigger than I thought I'd ever be. Stars on me like military machinery. Pushing the best of greenery like I'm a damn dispensary. Ain't another me, ain't another me. Groupies to me, my stat, that's your girlfriend, then why she leaving with me? We ain't dated, but a week, but still she gave me a key. I seen her homeboy picture, man, a grandmother three. I told him, count them bands up, I got it, sell me a key. And even though you see me MTV, jam of the week, I got a stupid and rich game, I never ever the same. I got the kangaroo money, bout to jump on my chain. I count $100,000, I was just in my teens. NBA money, just one of my rings. You say your new getting money, that ain't no money to me. You say your new getting money, that ain't no money to me. You say your new getting money, that ain't no money to me. You say your new getting money, that ain't no money to me. You say your new getting money, that ain't no money to me.
You think you niggas getting money, ain't no money to me. I've been in the trap all night, I barely got sleep. And when I wake up in the morning, dollar signs what I see. I've been dancing in my dream, now that's a pool full of money. I got your bitch on my dick, she say it's all in my stomach. We eating steak and lobster, cause she say it's a favorite. Now run with that, I'm like a running back. I run the pack, and I ride with the weight. So I ride with my pole, and on the late night stroll, she like to suck good dick. She get a bad snob nose, make me twinkle my toes. Then I'm back in the trap, back in the fat. Yeah, I keep some motion, whipping the pot, flipping the peas. Plug call, I'm coming, thumbing through band. Hurt my hands, I could barely count it. Run up them rat, gotta get paid. I'm a sack chaser.
Getting money, that ain't no money to me. You say your name. Getting money, that ain't no money to me. You say your name. Getting money, that ain't no money to me. You say your name. Getting money, that ain't no money to me.
Hey, what's up? This is your girl, Angie Stone, and you're listening to The Stephen Knight Show. Keep it locked.
I feel like I sound like a big person.
Welcome back to The Stephen Knight Show. We're mind-drawing over social media, Facebook, X, TikTok, Instagram, of course, our YouTube channel. Please comment and subscribe, Stephen Knight Show. All right, so earlier this year, Oprah Winfrey announced that she would be stepping down from Weight Watchers board after previously revealing that she used the weight loss medication. During a recent live stream, the mogul took responsibility for her role in diet culture while expressing that she wanted to do better. According to Variety, Oprah shared her sentiments during the Weight Watchers Making the Shift, a new way to think about weight live stream. She said to the audience, "I want to acknowledge that I have been steadfast participant in the diet culture through my platforms, through the magazine, through the talk show of 25 years. I've been a major contributor to it. I cannot tell you how many weight loss shows and makeovers I have done, and they've been a staple since I've been working in television." While speaking, she recalled a moment from her talk show in 1988 when she rolled a wagon of fat on stage and referred to it as one of the biggest regrets. She continued, "It sent a message that starving yourself with a liquid diet and set a standard for people watching that, I nor anybody else can uphold." Oprah continued to take responsibility for her contributions and added, I own what I've done and now I want to do better. As Prince reported in February, Oprah stepped down from Weight Watchers board and her shares of the company were donated to the National Museum of African American History and Culture. All right, so Lania, what do you think? You know, I know Oprah's been very transparent about her weight, you know, struggled throughout her life, her career, and now she's apologizing for her part in it. What are your thoughts?
Right. sometimes I feel like when people get money, they become out of touch with the common folk.
Mm.
And when you do these things, you're not coming from an authentic and genuine place. When you're doing these things, you're doing it because you want to make money. Let's keep it always 100.
Mm-hmm.
Because once this whole phenom of Ozempic and Wegovy hit, people wasn't trying to say that that's what they were doing. Oh, I've been working out. And that you're lying, just like these Instagram heifers that be like, oh, I'm in the gym every day working out. Why not just be honest? Hell, give me a shot. I need some of this fat up off of me ASAP. So, you know, sometimes people lose touch with the common people, and then you get these people so excited because now you're the face of, and they're coming to it because of you, because they believe you, and they're hearing you, and they're listening to you, and they're going through the process, and it's not giving them what you're showing and what you're telling them and what you're not telling them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I thought she disassociated with Weight Watchers a long time ago.
She did. She did this year after she came out that she was on a weight loss medication. And then she did a special talking about the pros and cons of taking those weight loss medications. And she had people from Weight Watchers, she had people from Ozempic, people from, I think the other one.
Wegovy.
Yeah. And she was telling, and it's like, there's one woman, she was on one of the medications and she got extremely sick to the point where she couldn't take it. And they said, and the doctor said, well, this one just wasn't for you, but you could try another one. But she was so scared because of her first experience. And then one young woman, she, they said that she was a teenager, and they said that if she didn't watch it, she would have diabetes and all those other things by the time she was 18 or 21. And so they were talking about how those medications did help her in her battle, but they couldn't really afford them. Her family couldn't afford them. So it was like it was a different way of seeing it, because Oprah said that when she wheeled out that wagon of the fat, she said the next day she started gaining weight. she had starved herself for 3 months. And, you know, so she was saying now that she's on the medication and she's working out, she said that she has no shame. And so she's trying to bring awareness to it. But both sides of it.
Those quick fixes don't work. Mm-hmm. Those quick fixes don't work. And can I just tell everybody, it's just not overweight people who have diabetes.
Right. Yep.
That have diabetes.
Yep.
And you're messing with the actual diabetics being able to get their medicine, because mm-hmm. y'all willing to pay for it and the pharmaceutical companies are reaping the benefits. All right, I'm done.
Yeah. Brittany, what are your thoughts?
I feel like I just hate the culture, like we said in the past episode, where we have to apologize for everything. Like, yeah. I just feel like as a Black woman, that's what we go through every day. We go through, I don't want to look like this. I want to love what I look like in the mirror. Like, I want my body to be a certain way or look like this. I hit 30 and I got these things under my arm that be dangling, and I be like, oh my God, where did that come from? Like, and so I be like, I'm trying to get lipo. So I mean, I just think that, like, do whatever makes you happy to where you will love yourself in the mirror. And I feel like I don't understand why she had to apologize, because she did all that she could to start loving herself. I mean, Oprah's been through a lot of trauma herself, and so apparently she got her own insecurities or demons or whatever she's working through. And I just hate the fact that, like Lania said, when you get to a certain status, you have to apologize for every little thing that offends somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
She definitely could have did it a different way, because Weight Watchers was around way before Oprah.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? And you haven't seen any of those other people coming out. Oh.
Nope.
So, you know, it's always an interesting dynamic to see.
Yeah.
And when I had kids, I was like trying to find after 3 kids, I'm trying to find anything that'll work to get this weight off of me. So I might be like, oh yeah, I tried apple cider vinegar. Oh, I've been, uh-huh. you know, like me and my girlfriends constantly are trying to find new ways.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, you saw the video that went viral, Pastor Keon Henderson. He was there was at their church church service, and he was singing, and towards the end of the service, and the one lady, she was on the stage, and she, I guess, caught the Holy Ghost, and she was very loud in her praise, and he went over and shushed her. Well, he later went to on Tamron Hall's show to talk about the viral video that catch him telling the churchgoers to hush during the praise and worship. The pastor explained that he has been having issues with this woman for 4 years and exhausted his options. He said the things that people say in the comments, he should have talked to her on the side. He said he's done. He had deacons talk to her. He had other people talk to her, and she continued to do it. He said because she did it publicly, that's why he shushed her publicly, because he's asked her. But my one question is, if you were having the same issues with a woman for 4 years, why is she on the stage? Brittany, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I didn't realize that part. That is a very good question. I say at the end of the day, pastors are humans, right? And
Yeah.
so I feel like we can tend to be a pastor and put them on a pedestal. But
Yep.
clearly this shows that they're human and they get frustrated. They have faults and flaws like everybody else.
Yep.
And I did see the point where he was saying she does this all the time and they're starting to think that it's fake or something like that. But I just think he got frustrated and in a moment of irritation, he told her to be quiet. But I don't know why she was on the stage, though. That is a good
She's in the
question.
choir, but why? If you're having the punishment or whatever, the way to remedy is not have her on stage.
We're gonna have her sing her vocals at home and just play
Or in
the
the audience, something.
tape.
What do you thought?
I literally just wrote down why was she on the stage. If
Right.
this is something that you continuously talk to her about, why was she on the stage? She
Yeah.
shouldn't be on the stage. And it takes away, both of them took away. She took away if this is a performance for her, and he took away
Yeah.
from being in the spirit in that moment.
Right.
You allow for your flesh to get you frustrated to take you out of the spirit. And then, of course, the internet gets it and it turns into something else. What could have happened if you talked to her, there could have been, if you do it again, not even do it again. No, if you do it again, where them good old school church ushers at? Come on. We're gonna take
Right.
the ass up off of here right now. Good old school church ushers. Cover her up in the blood of Jesus in a white blanket and take her on out.
What out? Right.
I've had the experience of going to churches and people get this hooting and hollering, but I'm not a hooting and hollering person. I'm a let me be with God and hear God in the spirit, So you gotta learn how to tune that out. But if that's a regular occurrence and she's an habitual line crosser, she'll need to be in the choir. If that was a choir that was on stage with him, she'll need to be in the choir. Period.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
I'm with Lania. If you come to church with me and fall out in the middle of the aisle, baby, don't you ever think you're coming back on me. I'm going to never. Like, you better catch it and hold on to it.
Because I ain't picking you up.
I cannot handle being next to God. I don't like being embarrassed. Don't be sitting next to me. Don't do none of that. Like, I need you to walk to the altar.
Well, our last story. So we all saw another viral video where a teacher was seen having students take down his braids. And there was a lot of debate about it. They're saying that it's inappropriate. Would he let his daughters take out her another male teacher's braids? And so he came back with a video and he explained that it was the end of the school day and he had a hair appointment right after school. And he said that he has good relationships with his students. He said it wasn't just his students, but it was also the students in the other class that had completed all their work. And he said sometimes if they do a good job, he talked about what they had worked on that week. They do a good job, he'll give them some time back in the rest of the day to be on their phone or just, hang out, whatever. And so he said that he had the video there so you could see it was nothing going on there. He said the video was to protect him and to protect the students. And he said that he makes videos like this all the time with the students, and a lot of the parents follow him on social media. He said that people are sexualizing this, and they're making it weird when really it's not. He said that he lets the girls, put makeup on them. You know, he said that he has four sisters or something, and he's, let them put wigs on, stuff like that. He said because he's securing his masculinity. He said, but I don't, y'all making it weird. I don't think it's weird. And so there's been some back and forth. Some people saying this is completely inappropriate. They should be doing school. But he was saying that I have these relationships with my students. He said, I'm more than just a teacher to them. I'm someone they can, I build that relationship so they can come to me as a confidant, that kind of thing. Well, rumor is he's since been fired. But I'll start with you, Lania. Both of you are parents. What did you think when you saw the video? And do you think that he deserved to be fired?
No, I haven't seen the video personally, but I know that when you mentioned he does other videos, there's also videos of him allowing the girls to paint his nails and stuff, because it's something in regards to, like, if they want to become cosmetologists or nail techs and stuff like that, that, you know, he doesn't have a problem with them doing it. You have to be mindful of the world that we live in.
Yeah.
And recording, even though it can be for safety purposes, you have to know that once you put it out on social media, you're going to get mixed reactions.
Right.
And you have to be ready for that. Should they have fired him? No. I think that was overkill, because from my understanding, there was another video that came out of a female teacher who allowed
to take
her hair. He got a free service, and maybe his heart was in the right place, but you really have to consider the times that we live in now. Now, mind you, I've been close with some of my teachers. Some, like, that I consider, you know, I might, you know, like a mother figure or a sister figure or an aunt figure. So I get it. Never a male teacher, though.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That might be a little bit different for me. So, but you got to consider where we are in the world now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are your thoughts, Brittany?
I didn't see anything wrong with the video. I think that I do agree with Lania, like, he should have thought about what are other people going to think when I post this on my social media before posting it. But me personally, as a mom, I don't see anything wrong with how it looked. Like, it was four girls in the middle of the day, the lights were on in front of a classroom. Like, I think it's because he was a fine looking man, so I was like, maybe that's why. But it just is like, I don't know. I don't see as a parent why I would be so upset about it. But hey, everybody has their thing. I know other people have been on video cutting hair, hugging kids, like braiding hair. Like, other people are seen doing everything in them classrooms. And I mean, you do grow a bond with them kids. So in my opinion, I don't think he should have been fired. Maybe written up for not being mindful of when and how and what to post in his professional life. But I mean, it's a learning thing for him, I think. So
yeah, when I first saw it, I thought this might be inappropriate. But then when I heard him explain, I listened to other people commenting, I was like, okay, maybe it's not that bad. But I think the biggest thing, he shouldn't have posted it. Because like you said, Lania and Brittany, once you put it out there, everyone's going to have an opinion. And now he's lost his job, which I don't think he should have lost his job. I think he could have been reprimanded or, you know, asked not to do it again. But hopefully, he seems like he's a good teacher. Hopefully he'll get another job somewhere else, because we've had people keep jobs for worse. Well, listen, thank you so much for Hot Topics. I appreciate both of you as always. And when we come back, movie reviews. We're back after this.
Feeling sure, feeling clear, feeling positive. making a mess. So I made up in my mind, smile more, stress less. Gave it all to God and he gave me a blessing. He's a king, he's a God, he's a big ass. He's a truth, he's a lie, he's a real ass. When he tells me he loves me, I feel it. Ain't nobody on this earth that can steal it. So I said I feel it. A testament I gotta tell. Faith I'm about to flex on. A study for the test on. A positive my God can do. He's a king, he's a God, he's a big ass. He's a truth, he's a lie, he's a real ass. When he tells me he loves me, I feel it. Ain't nobody on this earth that can steal it. So
a funny way of showing you lessons.
Remix featuring Kevin Ross, Raheem Devon, and Anthony Hamilton.
God has a funny way of showing what is meant to be. Had to learn everything I was meant to see wasn't meant for me. Guess I had to fall many times.
Fall in love.
Guess all them bruises made me strong enough to see you, see who you are. 'Cause before I just played too many games to see this blessing in front of me. Thank God he opened up my eyes. Now I'm realizing
everyone that let me down led me to you.
Oh baby, all the sleepless nights,
all the heartbreak I had led me to you.
'Cause if I never went through it, I'd have never found a love like this.
Growing up in time is a blessing. And I waited one more day running round. I wanna miss this. Not you, baby. No. The heart of the woman that you are surely shine through you. God wants to save me for you. I used to dread the love I lost. It was barely just a blemish. Now that life led me to you, God intended this. Now I realize
everyone that let me down led me to you.
Oh baby,
all them sleepless nights, and if I never went through it, I would never find love like you.
Like a rolling stone, temptation zone.
Up was a rolling stone.
Running a fast lane, never looking back.
Just always moving on.
I kept it moving on
till you came.
lessons. Every bad choice only made for the thorough checklist. Every wrong turn showed me there's a clear direction. I had to let it go and let God do. If it was up to me, I would have never knew. This magic, best thing happened to me. Life's fast, but with you in my passenger seat. No losses, we just live and learn. And though I can't say every love affair was perfect, but every painful day and late night was worth it. Took me a while, but I realized
everyone that let me down led me to you.
Led me to you, baby. Oh, baby. All those sleepless nights.
Hey, this is Eric Roberson, and you are checking out The Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to The Stephen Knight Show. Adam, how's the weather in D.C.?
Well, the weather in D.C. is good here, Stephen. We're in the 70s today. I think we'll get up to the 80s, so it'll get a little warm, but so far, can't complain.
Yeah, that's how it is here, so good. You see anything good?
Yeah. So, well, first of all, I was out of town last weekend, out in Disney World, catching the sights. It was good. Speaking of weather, about 100-degree heat index. So, hot days out there. Yeah. But I was fortunate enough to have Jerry Seinfeld release a movie straight to Netflix Unfrosted.
Well, the Pop-Tarts or something like that.
Yeah, the Pop-Tart movie. So I want to talk a little bit about that. It came out, and for anyone unfamiliar, this is the story of the creation of the Pop-Tart. And it's not a real story. This is all very like, you know, Jerry Seinfeld making a funny movie with Pop-Tart as characters and everything around the cereal kind of industry. So what the story is about is, and this is starring Jerry Seinfeld, directed by Jerry Seinfeld, and has a huge cast of famous actors in it, a lot of comedians, a lot of other famous people, but it is a story about the invention of the Pop-Tart, and Jerry's character works for Kellogg's, and their rival is Post, and it's a very big kind of parody of maybe the space race and like these two companies going to war to create the first jelly-filled pastry in this sense for what the movie's going with. It's a straight to Netflix release. He had an agreement with Netflix, so you can watch it right now. The reviews before I watched it were very critical. It's you know, it's got some mixed reviews, and I try not to let reviews sway my opinion of a movie before I watch it. And the biggest thing about this movie is, first of all, it's not awful. It's not going to be the worst movie you've seen, but it's just a lot of it's nothing exciting. There's nothing like laugh out loud funny too often in this. There's nothing that really like engages you the whole time. I mean, I don't want to, I hate to say it, but this is like one of those movies where you can look at your phone throughout it and you're not really missing much. And, you know, it might just be because it's a series of little jokes mixed in throughout the movie that's like more of like scenes, or if it's just like leaning into the silliness. But, you know, you have the mascots that are that Tony the Tiger's played by Hugh Grant, who does a great job. And that's one thing I'll add. Everyone gave, you know, gave 100% in this movie. No one felt like they phoned it in. They really enjoyed being there. And when you're surrounded by comedians, I'm sure you're having a good time. But everything was just kind of on the silly scale. And there was a lot of 60s references. This takes place in the early 60s that are in there. And I watch a lot of movies. I know a lot about kind of the culture of the 60s. So it wasn't too much out of the realm for me. But like for your average audience, you know, even the Gen Zers, alphas, you know, some of these jokes you're just going to miss. You're not going to get who these people are. You're not going to get their references. You're not going to get a lot of the kind of inside jokes of whatever the 60s like reference is, which is fine. Again, this all comes back to my point that it's not a bad movie. It's just not a good movie. It's a very middle of the road. You know, you'll get some jokes here. You'll get some jokes there. I know he's on a media tour, media frenzy lately. So he's been promoting this movie nonstop and everywhere. And he tried to say, you know, he made that comment that like you can't make shows that are edgy or comedy that's edgy anymore, even though It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia has been around forever and still goes strong. But yeah, it's just a big, again, it's a good, it's a movie that you can put on in the background, catch a few jokes here and there, see some silliness. My personal favorite scene is when John Hamm comes out and they're doing a whole Mad Men scene with Don Draper and Roger Sterling. That was hilarious. Again, I'm a big Mad Men fan, so that added to it. But yeah, it was just, again, if you want something to put on in the background while doing chores, this is it. This is not going to be a bad thing. It's not going to be offensive. It's not going to do anything that's really going to change anything for you.
I saw an interview they did at the cast, and it was either him or one of the other cast members, they were saying that when they were shooting, these two people on set got in an argument. He said, y'all, this is a movie about Pop-Tarts. There's nothing to argue about.
Yeah, very low stakes. Very low stakes. You'll go and you'll see your cameos. You'll get, you know, you'll get like, again, jokes like he drinks this orange beverage. He's like, oh, it kind of has like a tang to it. And then like, oh, that's a great name for the drink, let's call it that. So little things like that, where again, it's fun, it's nothing exciting, you get a chuckle and then you move on to the next scene. So that was the big thing I watched last weekend, and I know we've been on break for a little while here, so the only other thing I want to talk about is this other film. It's a comedy called Hundreds of Beavers. Now this one is pretty obscure, but it did just get released a few weeks ago, and it is kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum, a very small budget release from this director Mike Cheslick. And it's literally, the story is, it's set up as a black and white film, silent film for the most part, slapstick comedy. So think of Looney Tunes mixed with the silent films of the 20s, mixed with a little bit of a gaming element to it. So, you know, so there's a lot going on here, but it follows the story of this Applejack farmer that starts to, his whole farm gets destroyed by a pack of beavers. And so he becomes a fur trapper. because he wants to get rid of the Beavers. And, you know, there's a storyline where he's wanting to win the owner, the merchant's owner's daughter's favor. So he's kind of working his way to becoming a better fur trapper and becoming a better person to do that and capture all these Beavers and then, win the respect of the love interest. So it is an interesting one. I will say this. It's not for everyone. Again, there's a lot of zaniness to it. There's a lot of cartoony elements, but it is live action. It's mostly live action. There's a little animated stuff to it. But, you know, when he's fighting the Beavers, they're just people in Beaver costumes. You know, they're not like actual Beavers. He's fighting the squirrels. He's fighting the wolves. They're all like that. So there's a lot of silliness, zaniness into it. But it's a good callback, and it's a fun movie where you get to just experience that little bit of the charm from way back in like the 20s and things like that. It was made on such a small budget, $150,000. It's already, you know, surpassed that. You can rent it on Amazon Prime. I don't think it's in theaters, but it's good. It's a refreshing, especially, you know, after watching Unfrosted, it's a refreshing mix of like comedy and like different ways to get laughs. And really kind of enjoy those storylines. So if you're looking for something really off the radar, again, this is not for everyone, but Hundreds of Beavers, it's a fun watch. If you're like, I want to laugh at something different and not see the same thing, check it out.
Okay. Well, I saw a series I watched this a couple weeks ago. It's called A Man in Full, and it stars Jeff Daniels. And he said this is his one of his hardest roles. But it's described as when a real estate mogul, Charlie Croker, faces bankruptcy, political and business interests collide as he defends his empire from those attempting to capitalize on the fall from grace. This, and he said that this is similar to like a Donald Trump, but this was based on a book that was written way before Trump, you know, became president. Yeah. But he said, but the thing is, he's a game runner. He's not the best person, obviously. But you find yourself actually liking him a little bit. He's very Southern because it takes place here in Georgia, Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Very Southern. He talks junk, talks to you recklessly, you know. But it was really good. I watched it one day. It was really good. It's 6 episodes on Netflix, and I highly recommend it. I was very much entertained. But as a matter of fact, so I worked from home that day, so I was watching while I was working. And then I had dinner plans with Miss Parker and her cousins. I couldn't wait to come back from dinner so I could finish watching the series.
That's a good sign, though, right? Yeah, like, sticks in your mind.
Good. Yeah. So I highly recommend it. It's a drama, but I recommend it. But yeah, that's pretty much it for me. Anything coming down the pipeline?
Yeah, so, you know, these busy weekends, but I haven't had a chance to be in the theater in a while, but I want to see The Fall Guy. This is Ryan Gosling stars as this kind of stuntman that's has to look for his kind of ex-girlfriend, and so he's like going, so he goes from a stuntman actor to actually having to go do all these things life of the movie. So yeah, it looks fun. Like this is like our summer blockbuster of this kind of fun zaniness, enjoyable cast and stuff like that. So that's on my list. And then The Apes Are Back, and I've seen the last two Planet of the Apes films. We're into the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes films. They're fun movies. I don't know if anyone follows the storylines, cares about the storylines. You know, they come out every few years, but they do a good job. But this one is kind of this. So if anyone's familiar with the old Planet of the Apes, it starts at like the end of time when all the humans were kind of they didn't really speak and everything like that. But the new series started from the origin. So how did the Planet of the Apes start to slowly come about? And this story is going to be kind of actually taking place way after the last movie. And at this point, the world has changed. The apes are the civilization, and humans like have forgotten how to speak and kind of like reverted back to that primal ways. So I they're fun movies. They're action movies. They're going to be kind of just kind of that intense back and forth. So that's on my radar as well. And then later this month is Furiosa, which is the Mad Max film prequel story about Furiosa. So a lot of things to look forward to, and I'm hoping to catch them all in the theater.
All right. Well, as always, thank you for letting us know what spend our time and money on, what not to, and have a great week. Right back after this.
Reminiscing, remembering, we used to get it and argue with mama like him again. Tell her I love you when she just say, why you defending him? This time of love's innocence, we was like souls innocent, finishing all of your sentences. Friends would say they go your twin again. Yes, I'm just missing it. Lower the voices, lower the noises, put on an album, turn on the volume, make love in the shower like they goes to hours. Tryna vibe, tryna kick it with ya, give it 2x50 with ya. Feel like the time of your life, every minute with you. Now I see the bigger picture.
We were supposed to be good.
Difference, we did it from humble beginnings. Ain't winning if all of ain't really what's in it. Ain't winning if all of ain't really what's in it. Guess what I'm saying? Why is this ending? Why are we in this way? Lower the voices, lower the noises. Put on an album, turn on the volume. Make love in the shower like they goes to hours. Tryna vibe, tryna kick it with ya. Give it 2x50 with ya. Feel like the time of your life, every minute with ya. Now I see the bigger
picture.
We were
supposed to be good.
From Love and Marriage Huntsville, and I'm here on the Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Now it's time to highlight our Black-owned business. It's a restaurant. It's called Belle and Lily's Caribbean Brunch House. Now, this is an island-themed brunch with mimosas and a DJ playing Caribbean tunes. And it's here in Atlanta, Georgia. I haven't tried this place out, but it looks good. Their food looks really good. I'm going to try it out. Again, it's called Belle and Lily's Caribbean Brunch House. There'll be a link in the bio of this video. But thank you for tuning in tonight. I hope you have a great week. We'll see you again next Monday. Good night.
Tonight is all eyes on me. Everything.